I love getting boxes in the mail. Even though it's usually me who's ordered and paid for whatever's in the box, I still love it. My dogs love it too. That's right, my dogs, because once a month, they get a special box from a company called BarkBox. And inside that box are treats and toys just for them. And they love both. You can get a BarkBox for your dogs too through a monthly subscription when you go to BarkBox.com/GreyhoundNJ. And when you do this and are a first-time customer of BarkBox, they will donate $25 to Greyhound Friends of New Jersey, helping us to get more greyhounds into homes. Check them out. It's BarkBox.com/GreyhoundNJ. Welcome to About Greyhounds, the podcast about greyhounds. I'm your host, Jacqueline Howard. July is National Lost Pet Prevention Month. It was created by Pet Hub in 2014 to give pet parents focused, in-depth resources, tools, and strategies for preventing a lost pet, as well as advice for getting them home quickly if they go AWOL or absent without a leash. Consider these alarming statistics. The National Council of Pet Population Study and Policy and the National Humane Society tell us that in North America, a family pet is lost every 2 seconds, similar to other countries. More than 10 million pets are lost each year, and 1 out of 3 pets will be lost during its lifetime. However, only 1 in 10 pets is found. Think about those numbers. Then think about former racing greyhounds in particular. They're sight hounds, and while they have a good sense of smell, they're not scent hounds and can't sniff their way back home if they become lost. Greyhounds are trained to bolt when a door opens. Think about the racing gate on the track. So we always have to be careful around doors, including in our home, our fence gates, and even car doors and hatches. Also consider that greyhounds are sensitive to temperature and being out in the elements for a long period of time, along with temperatures exceeding 80 degrees Fahrenheit or about 26 Celsius and 40 degrees Fahrenheit or about 4 degrees Celsius. These can be fatal to a greyhound. At Greyhound Friends of New Jersey, we are adamant with new adopters about these dangers and the potential outcomes. The truth is, things can happen. A landscaper leaves a fence gate open. A dog that you thought was secure wasn't. A leash unhooks from a collar. We're all careful, but the worst is possible in a flash. If a GFNJ adopter's greyhound becomes lost, we highly recommend they call us and then the authorities before conducting a search. Greyhound Friends of New Jersey typically deploys volunteers to the adopter's area to hang flyers and to search. Many other greyhound adoption organizations have a similar protocol. But what does proper searching entail in order to hopefully reach the goal of finding the greyhound safe and sound? Our special guest on the show is the co-owner and founder of Lost Dog Search and Rescue, Debbie Geisinger. Lost Dog Search and Rescue is a non-profit organization based in Toms River, New Jersey. Welcome to the show, Debbie.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure being here.
Debbie, before we get started, I want to talk a little bit about Lost Dog Search and Rescue. And I'd like to congratulate you on reaching your 10th year in operation. That's impressive.
Thank you.
So, Debbie, how did Lost Dog Search and Rescue come to be?
Well, we had a rescue that we had taken in that was abused, and he was very, he had a lot of anxiety, separation anxiety. So I brought him to a doggy daycare just a couple of days a week for a few hours, and they left 2 gates and the door open, and he escaped.
Oh.
And I had like 14 of my friends. We were out there sunrise to sunset looking for him. We put flyers up. We offered a reward. because he was a pit bull, and he was near an apartment complex, and I was scared to death that they would try to use him in the, you know, with the fighting, and he would not fight, so he would have been a bait dog.
Oh.
So anyway, we searched, we called all the shelters, and 4 days had passed, and I was just beside myself. It's such a helplessness.
Yeah.
We were fortunate enough, though, 4 days later, he was found a mile from our house. He was coming home.
Oh, wow.
And once we were lucky enough to get him back, my husband would go on Craigslist. And if someone, put an ad up that they had lost their dog, we would call them up and offer to come out and help. And through the years of doing this, you learn certain similarities that the dogs will do. They always find a food and water source. And usually they'll stay within, a 5-mile radius of where they first escaped.
Okay.
However, sometimes that's not like written in stone. Sometimes dogs will try to get back to the town that they came from if they were adopted. And there's other factors too. Sometimes people will, try to chase them and they scare them out of the area. So each case is different when searching for a dog. But that's how we started, our dog Romeo. And Romeo has since passed, but his memory, and because of him, we've saved over 1,000 dogs.
Whoa.
In this state.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Well, congratulations on that, too. That's amazing.
Thank you.
So
it's a good feeling. You know, when you save a life, you can't put a price on that.
Right.
And it's just a wonderful feeling to know that you helped save a life.
Of course. What geographic area does your organization serve?
Well, we serve mostly Ocean County. But thanks to social media and Facebook, we now have over 10,000 followers on each of our pages, and we have Lost Dogs in Ocean County, Lost Dogs in New Jersey. So if a dog is lost in Ocean County and it's posted on our pages, and then there's volunteers in those areas, in those towns that the dog went missing, they go out and they search. And we actually, because of Facebook, have recovered a dog within 15 minutes of it going missing.
Whoa.
So Facebook is great.
Yeah, great. Definitely. Definitely. And for our listeners, just so you know, I will be posting links to the Facebook pages that Debbie mentioned, so you can go there and join as well. What if someone is outside of Ocean County and contacts you? Can you direct that person to another organization that can help them?
Well, we actually, I was up at the World Dog Expo, and I met a lot of people from New York, and I gave my card out, and a gentleman lost his dog in New York and gave me a call, and we posted it on our Lost Dog Search and Rescue page, and within a day or so, it helped us find a dog. Someone had the dog and was holding it.
Oh, wow.
So, if it's out of the state, they could call us and they can post on the Lost Dog Search and Rescue page, because that's from anywhere, all over the United States. But also call us and we could give them tips on what to do, to help recover a dog.
Great. And I will be putting your phone number for the organization in the show notes as well, so that people can have access to that. So, how many volunteers do you have?
Well, volunteers in our town, we have a little over 20, but volunteers on the website, there's hundreds.
Wow. And let's say I'm in Ocean County, I call you because my dog is lost, and you're volunteers and you go out to help find the dog. Is there a charge for that service?
No, we we never charged anyone for doing this, because, as I said, we start doing this because of the helplessness that I remembered feeling when my Romeo was missing. And I just can't bring myself to take money from anyone at that time in their life when, you know, they need help.
Right.
And you know what? We've been very blessed that God has always made a way for us. I mean, in the course of looking for lost dogs, we would also find dogs that were dumped. And I would, of course, take them home. We'd scan them for chips, see if, you know, report it to the authorities. And if the dog was, you know, dumped, as we thought, we would keep it. We would get it neutered or spayed and get all its shots and keep it until we could find it a home. And eventually, we became a 501c3, a nonprofit organization, so that we could get donations and do fundraisers to help. Because, you know, now we got a lot. When people hear that what we do, they call us up with dogs.
Oh.
They found a need to rehome. So it does get expensive. I mean, last year I got 23 dogs from a hoarder. And had to have them all vetted, spayed, and neutered.
Oh, wow.
And thank God I found them all homes. Good old.
Wow. So it sounds like you could probably use donations. So how would our audience donate to help your organization?
You could go to www.ilostmydog.org, and that's our website, and there's a donate button right through at PayPal. It's right on the homepage.
Excellent.
And you can also, if you go to the bottom of the homepage, it will have all our Facebook pages you can click on to go to.
Fantastic. So in the show notes of this episode, there will also be a link to where you can go to donate to help Debbie and her organization. Debbie, if someone's in your area and needs Lost Dog Search and Rescue's help in finding their dog, what's the process that person should follow?
They would go to our website and fill out an info form.
Okay.
You know, we would need their name, the owner's name, because we won't go out unless the owner calls us. Because believe it or not, we've gone out looking for someone's dog because, let's say, a friend or a neighbor or a relative called us, and then the owner has actually gotten mad at us and said, "I didn't ask you to look for my dog." It's
wow.
But so we now will go out if someone, you know, the owner calls us or notifies us or fills a form out, and we get their information, their address, when the dog went missing, where it went missing from, if it has a chip, did it have a collar, and all that information so that we can know where to start.
Got it.
And we usually tell the owners if they put up a flyer or a poster that we believe, and it's worked for us, that a reward is good to offer. And that being is, we've had cases where someone has found someone's lost dog and they decided they were going to keep it. And the neighbors, because we're reward, called us and said their neighbor just got a dog that fits the description, and sure enough, it was the dog that we were looking for. So we do believe that rewards are helpful.
Great. And you know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because there is a counter school of thought that feels that putting the word reward on a flyer could maybe lead to some nefarious activity, so to speak, like someone finds a dog and holds it for more reward. You know, like, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I can only speak from our past experience.
Right.
And from our past experience, offering a reward has always been helpful.
Okay.
And I have to say, you were earlier saying the statistics for a missing dog and how many, percentages found.
Right.
And I have to say, our percentage of finding dogs is pretty high. There's only been, in the years we've been doing this, only a handful that were never found or, were found deceased.
Right. Incredible.
So the most important thing is to find the dog as soon as possible before harm comes to it.
Sure.
And I know that there are people out there that charge a fee to do it. And, some of them they set up feeding stations. And we don't believe in that. If there's a sighting, then we're going to set a trap and put up food there. Because if you want for the dog to go into a trap, you have to have it hungry enough that its hunger becomes its fear. If you're setting up feeding stations, then it's going to take more time, which is more days and more opportunity for that dog to get harmed, than if you set up a trap and leave a trail and catch it right away.
Right, that makes...
We've been very successful in catching the dogs in traps like that.
That makes complete sense. I totally get that. And just a quick note on the word reward. My dog's ID tags have two things on it. My mobile number and the word reward. That's it. Because because I figure, who cares what the dog's name is? If you found my dog, you're going to be more interested in that reward anyway. And I use my mobile number.
Your cell phone.
Yeah, because
that's what we did too.
Yeah, because I use my mobile instead of the landline, because most likely if my dog is lost, I'm out looking for him. Mm-hmm. And I'll have my cell phone with me.
Another thing about the reward, as I said, we've come across some that the people have found the dogs and they wanted to keep them. But before they get attached to the dog, if they know there's money involved, they might go for the money.
Right.
Before wanting to keep the dog.
Right. I agree. Tell me about the dog trap. What does that look like?
The dog trap? It's a humane trap. It's almost looks like a kennel. A dog crate, like a dog crate.
Okay.
Only it has one of the sides of it goes down, and when the dog goes in it, it trips it that it'll shut. And so the dog is shut into the kennel, and it can't escape.
Okay, I gotcha. It's kind of like...
doesn't cause any harm to the dog at all.
Sure, it's...
It might startle it, but I'd rather the dog be safe and startled,
Yep. Yeah, I have a cat trap, actually, and it sounds very similar. The cat goes in and...
a cat trap.
Yep, okay.
Only larger.
Got it. Well, yeah, well, let's hope so. So tell me your most memorable search and rescue.
There are so many of them. But one I have to say is there was a 10-year-old black lab that went missing in Holiday City over here. And she was missing for 6 months. And we had so many people out looking for her. And then there were no sightings. And, time had went by, and we thought, somebody either has her or something happened to her. And then somebody that didn't have social media, wasn't on the internet, happened to see a flyer and called us and told us that she was following the deer around in the woods, and that they had seen her, and every time they would feed the deer, she would be there. So we went over right away with the trap, and within an hour of setting the trap, we caught her.
Wow.
And it was very, very, exhilarating to know that she was still alive and finally safe after 6 months.
Incredible.
And her owners, who had given up hope, they were beside themselves. And they actually still have, they brought all of us out to dinner to thank us.
Wow. How do you know?
I have to say that was one of the most memorable.
How do you know when the dog's in the trap? Like, do you get, is it just checking?
When we set a trap, we set it and have people check on it.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, because we have someone, you have to check on it pretty regularly, especially in the winter and the summer, because you don't want some animal trapped in there in the element.
Right. Yeah.
So we have someone watching the trap.
Have you ever trapped another lost dog that wasn't the dog you were looking for?
No, but I have found dogs while I was looking for other dogs.
Oh, wow.
there's a lot of times I was out looking for a specific lost dog and found another dog. And that's how we started the rescue, because that happened several times. And they were dogs that were just dumped.
Oh.
We live near an adult community, and I guess either, a family member dies and the family doesn't want the dog or doesn't want to pay the fee to bring it to a shelter, and they just put the door and let them go.
Oh.
And there's other times that they just dump them, and they dump them in a senior development thinking that, somebody will bring them in.
Oh, that's awful.
Since I've been in rescue, I really don't like many humans anymore because of the things I see. But then, there are some wonderful humans out there, like our volunteers that, do whatever on their own.
Right.
They spend their own money on flyers and gas and, going out there, taking off from work to help, find a lost dog.
Sure.
So...
sure. If somebody wanted to volunteer with your organization, would they contact you through your website or the Facebook pages?
Yeah, they could contact us.
Okay, great.
And just let us know where they live, their name and phone number, and if we have a dog in their area, we'll give them a call.
Gotcha. Okay. I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about prevention, the prevention of a dog getting lost in the first place. So I talked a little bit about the prevention of a greyhound getting out and lost. I want to go deeper on that with you. When and how is it most likely that a greyhound or any dog could escape? And what can I do to prevent this from happening?
Well, you should always think for the worst. Be prepared for the worst. So a greyhound is a breed, but when it comes down to it, they're all dogs. They're all
right.
Animals, and they're unpredictable at one, point. They could see something that triggers the prey grabbing them and take off. They could be startled by something and take off. So I would say always be cautious, never be lax. Always have a good hand, when you're walking a dog, any dog, keep the handle of the leash around like a slip knot on your wrist.
Yep.
So that if the dog bolts, it won't pull out of your hands and it'll just pull tight on your arm and not get away from you.
Yep. It's funny.
Use collars.
Yep.
On dogs. When we first get a dog and we always do pack walk and welcome the new dog in by doing pack walk.
Right.
I always have a harness plus a collar, and then I connect the collar and the harness together with the leash, so that there's no way the dog will slip out of either one
right.
and get away.
Right. And it's funny that you mentioned the slip knot, because that's exactly what we have our adopters use. As every dog gets adopted, we show that adopter how to do the slip knot. We lovingly call it the Linda Lyman loop. Linda Lyman is the president of Greyhound Friends of New Jersey. And I have in the show notes a link to a video showing people how to do the slip knot, or Linda Lyman loop, as we call it, when walking their dogs. Yeah. I agree with you, especially like with a greyhound. In three strides, these dogs are at 35 miles an hour, and their max speed is 45. Like, a dog hitting 35 miles per hour in three strides, is you're not holding onto that leash unless it's slip knotted right onto your wrist. So you might fall.
And that's a good point that you made, because let me put it out there. I don't care how big or how small the dog is.
Yep.
A dog has four legs. We only have two. You're not going to outrun them.
That's right.
You can't outrun any dog.
That's right. And
don't even try. The best thing, if you were to lose your dog, or if it was to take off, don't chase it right away. Fall to your knees.
Yep.
And You know, don't chase them. Don't yell at them.
Yep.
Fall to your knees and start whimpering.
Yep. You know, funny story, because it ends well. When we adopted our first greyhound, his name was Max. The adoption group I got him from hammered into our heads to be careful with doors. Because as I said, like an open door or a door that's opening is a trigger to a racing dog to bolt. And they do. And this was, you know, just tattooed into my brain before they would let me take the dog home. And sure enough, one day my husband was in the yard. We didn't have our fence up yet. I opened the door, just a couple of inches, sliding door, to yell something to my husband. And that dog pushed me right out of the way and got out and ran. And I chased him like an idiot, you know, like I'm going to catch him. And he ended up doing circles around my house. And, you know, I chased him a couple of laps, like yelling for him. Soon he outlapped me. And then it dawned on me somehow to stop chasing him, stop yelling at him, because I was screaming his name. And I did exactly what you said. I got down on my knees. But what I did was I just said very gently, "Max, come." And he did. He came right to me.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that I've read, actually, is when the dog does come to you, don't punish the dog for running away or yell at the dog.
No.
Because that will teach the dog not to come to you. So,
right.
Yeah.
You tell him what a good boy. Yeah. You
right.
Tell him, you praise him for coming to you.
Right. Exactly.
Even though you might be mad because they ran off
right.
and had you run around chasing them.
Right.
But, you know, like I said, don't chase them.
Yep.
Drop to your knees and start to whimper.
Yep.
Or cry.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you do get them, you know, say, "Oh, good boy, good boy."
Yep.
"Oh, good girl." But, yeah, praise them.
Yep. So I saw an interesting quote on your website, and it said, "Despite their love for their families, most dogs, given the right opportunity, can't wait to escape." What exactly does that mean?
Well, I mean, you know, it, like I said, you have to be always prepared for the worst. And a lot of cases, see, dogs, if you meet their needs, you're less likely to have a dog that will try to bolt and escape.
Sure.
But some dogs are just explorers. They want to see what's going on. So those are the type that will. But if you give your dog a lot of exercise and you establish that you are the pack leader with them, then, you know, hopefully you won't have a problem like that. But like I said, I never take any chances. We have a gate on our front porch. Our backyard is like Fort Knox. And that's another thing, on your gate. You know, a lot of times dogs go missing because a gate will blow open
yep.
or a meter reader will come in and not latch it.
Yep.
So we always put a clip in our back gate that someone can't just push it open.
Right.
And as the meter reader, if we're home, we'll let them in. If not, we tell them to do an estimate, because I'd rather have an estimate than have my dog go missing.
Yeah. And, you know, when we get calls at Greyhound Friends about a greyhound that's gotten away, a lot of the times it's because, like, a landscaper left the gate open, or
mm-hmm.
Or neighborhood kids came over to play with the adopter's kids and left the door open. So,
yeah.
So we actually, we have two gates on our fence that we padlock. And there's no reason for anybody to go through those gates. And when kids come over to play with my kids, they need to come through the house and go out the sliding glass door into the fenced yard. So,
right.
Yeah, because it's so easy. It's, you know, I don't expect a child that doesn't live here to remember, oh, I have to close the gate. And,
right.
You know, and there's people who just, you know, people who don't have dogs, even some who do, that don't think to close a gate. You know, so I'm with you on
yeah.
that.
That's why it's better to be cautious.
Yeah.
And you don't have to worry about that.
Yep. Yeah.
So, yeah, I tell everyone to latch their back gates, because I've seen so many dogs go missing because the gate was open. Plus, you know, there's people that will go and steal dogs. When they know there's a dog in someone's backyard, they steal dogs. There was a ring of people going stealing dogs. What they were doing with them, I don't know. You know, it could have been for dog fights. It could have been to sell.
Yep. Yeah, and I know there's some areas of the country where dog snatching happens more than other places. And going back to something you said earlier and just mentioned now, dog fighting, not as the fighting dogs, but as the bait. And
the bait dog.
Yeah. And that's just a horrible thing to happen to anybody's dog. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
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 So
and, you know, another thing I wanted to just point out is, you know, a lot of times I tell people, oh, you know, you should take this precaution with your dog. And they say, oh, well, he's chipped. You know what I say when they say that chip, you know, chipping your dog is fantastic. And I think that's a great idea. And one of the reasons being, if someone did find your dog and they didn't want to give your dog back to you and they said it was their dog, the chip will prove that dog is yours. But a chip, although it's very good at proving the dog is yours and getting your dog back, is not going to stop it from getting hit by a car.
That's right.
And, you know, so, I mean, I know a lot of people, and they're very lax. They think that the chip is a homing device or that, it, you know, they don't think it's not going to stop a car from hitting your dog. See, when a dog goes missing, my first priority is I want to get that dog before it gets hit by a car.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens to a lot of dogs.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why that's the first thing that we, you know, we want to get out there right away. We hand out flyers. We knock on doors. We want to get as many eyes looking for that dog as possible so that we can get a sighting, a recent sighting, and set the trap.
Yep.
Or sometimes, you know, we'll set the trap, but if we have the opportunity, sometimes we will herd a dog, if there's more than one of us, herd it into someone's backyard.
Oh, that's smart.
And get it.
Smart. Okay, got it.
So, I mean, that's why I said every case is different
sure.
with the lost dog, but there are similarities. Like I said, they'll always find food and water source. So either they're eating bird seed or cat food that people put out for cats, and they'll find water, a body of water nearby, or some source of water.
You know, something else on your website really caught my eye, and it's something that Greyhound Friends of New Jersey emphasizes, and we actually put it in our adoption contracts. What your website says, word for word, is this: there is no safe time for off-leash walking. And I could not agree with that more. Can you expound on that?
Well, yeah, no matter, like I said prior about, you know, greyhound or any breed,
yep.
before that breed, they're a dog. And a dog has instincts. And as well behaved as a dog could be, why take that chance that something might startle them or something might trigger their prey drive? That they take off.
Yeah.
You know, there's no, why take the chance? If you love your dog and they're obedient and walk by your side, so put a leash on it just to be precautious.
Right.
You know, because you never know what could happen.
Right. I agree. And, you know, one of the expressions I use a lot is the thing that gets most dogs into trouble is there are people saying, not my dog, you know, my dog would never,
yeah.
you know, like my dog would never run away. Well,
yes.
Yeah.
Let me say, never say never.
Yes, I agree. I totally agree.
Never say never. I can tell you how many dogs that went missing, they said, oh, they never did this before.
Yeah.
Well, hello.
Debbie, the Lost Dog Search and Rescue website talks about making sure our dogs always have a collar and ID tag on. I couldn't agree with that more either. In fact, Greyhound Friends of New Jersey literally has it in our contract as well for adoptions. So we provide every adopter with a martingale collar because greyhounds, their heads are smaller than their necks, so they need the martingale collar.
Yes. Yes.
And we also give them on that collar an ID tag for Greyhound Friends of New Jersey with our organization's phone number on it. And also in our contract is that the adopter needs to put his or her tag with that person's information on it on the dog. But still, we often see photos around the web of greyhounds, not necessarily from our group, but greyhounds nonetheless, without their collars and ID tags on. What advice do you have for folks who may think an ID tag and collar aren't necessary when indoors or in a fenced yard?
Well, there's always a chance that something happens and they get out of the backyard.
Sure.
You never know. Like you said, you don't know. A lot of them go missing because landscapers or someone forgot and left the gate open. So, I mean, you would, number one, get your dog back a lot quicker.
Yeah.
It has ID.
Yeah.
Because if someone finds it and they see the ID, they will call you and you get your dog back. Otherwise, somebody might hold on to the dog. You know, because a lot of people think, oh, I don't want to call the shelter because the dog will be euthanized or something like that. Well, you need to, if you find a dog, call the police, call animal control, let them know that you found the dog. If you want to keep the dog until the owner is found, you can tell them that. And you can keep the dog and hold on to it till the owner is found. And tell them that, you know, to give the owner your name, your contact number. But you with the ID on the dog and a collar, you're going to get your dog back a lot faster.
Right. I agree. Former racing greyhounds have unique tattoos in both their ears. These tattoos are done at the beginning of the dog's racing career. So it's one way, in addition to ID tags, that former racing greyhounds can be ID'd long after their racing days are over. So I've gone two extra steps with my dogs. They're also microchipped, and we talked about that. They also have GPS trackers on their collars that can be located anywhere in the world where there is satellite reception. So what are your thoughts on these extra measures?
Oh, I think it's great. I think it's phenomenal. I think it's a great idea. Anything that will help retrieve your dog faster is a great idea. I think the GPS is wonderful.
Yeah.
But again, as I said, nothing can beat precaution.
Right.
Because, you know, as I said, the chip, the GPS, the collar with the tag, it's not going to stop a car.
Right. Totally agree. Yeah. And as you said, the dogs will blindly run. They just do. You know, and this is especially true with greyhounds who have led very sheltered lives. Most of them, especially when they're new, don't have a concept of cars and traffic. Yeah.
Greyhounds were bred to run.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's in their DNA.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I want to talk a little bit about flyers. So you talked about flyers. Let's say the worst happens. My dog gets out. I want to have a flyer ready, I think, before the dog gets out, just in case. What kind of information should I put on the flyer?
Well, okay, as I said about offering a reward, and rewards for the safe, any information leading to the safe return of the dog. Not a reward for information,
right?
But information leading to the return of the dog,
right?
Because a sad thing, and this is something I want to tell people, is when you do put up a flyer, don't give too much information. Don't say went missing, had a pink collar on. Don't say that, because you're going to get calls, and there are people out there, and why they do it, I have no idea. But they'll call you and tell you that they saw your dog when they didn't. When our dog went missing, we had someone call us and say, oh, yeah, I saw him. He got hit by a car at 4 o'clock.
Oh.
And I said, well, you know what? He didn't go missing until 6. So I knew they were lying. But people are just cruel like that.
Oh.
But you want to keep some information, like if your dog is male and he's not neutered.
Okay.
Don't state that. That's something that you have that, you know, if someone says, oh, I saw your dog, well, what color collar did he have on? Even if he didn't have a collar on, say, well, what color collar did he have on?
Great. Yeah, that makes
because
sense.
This way you'll know if they're telling you the truth and they actually saw your dog. And you'll say, well, was it a male or a female? Was he neutered or intact? You know, and just some things like that you'll know. You have to, so that you can weed out the phony sightings.
Oh, that's just terrible.
Otherwise,
that people...
you'll be running around like a chicken with your head cut off.
Yeah. Ugh, that's terrible. I can't believe people would do that. Well, I can believe it, but
yeah.
It's sad.
People are unbelievable.
Yeah.
There are a lot of good people, too, that are out there that will help. I mean, like I said, our volunteers on our Facebook pages, you know, over 10,000 on each page, and the people come out and they help, and they, you know, it's phenomenal. And it's because of that, like I said, we've recovered dogs within 15 minutes of them missing.
And that's still incredible.
There's been times that somebody found a dog and posted it, and then the owner will contact us and say, oh, we have a dog. Here it is. So, I mean, it can be great. Social media can be very, very a good thing.
I agree. Well, let me ask you this. Let's say worst happens, my greyhound gets out. My first step, if I've adopted my dog from Greyhound Friends of New Jersey, is to call them because they'll send a posse out to where I need to be or where I am and where my dog was lost.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing I do is call the authorities. Other greyhound organizations may have this type of protocol as well, where they'll send out volunteers. What should my next step be? Let's say I'm out of your area, but I've sent you guys a picture of my dog on your Facebook page just, you know, to get it out there in social media. But what do I do? So I've contacted the authorities and my posse of people to help me. What's next?
All right, so you contacted the Greyhound people to come out with their volunteers.
Yep.
You contacted the police and animal control.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
Put out flyers everywhere you can. Knock on doors. You can also contact, depending on where you live, there are canine groups that will go out with search dogs. We actually have two of our dogs that are training now for search and rescue since they were puppies. And she's 7 months old. She's been training since she's 3 months old.
Oh, wow.
And another that's a year old that's been training since she was 3 months old. But we work with a canine trainer and group for the last 2 years. They work with us, and they will go out with their dogs to different parts of New Jersey and help in searching for a dog.
Okay, that's... I'm floored about the search and rescue dogs. So their people volunteer them to come out and help?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, they do it. The group that we work with, Hanlon's Canine, they will bring the dogs out and search for nothing. There are other groups, like I said, that charge. But like us, our first priority is the safety of the dog, and we don't do this to make money.
Right, right.
We do this because we want to get a dog home safe. We do this for our love of dogs.
But you guys are heroes. You truly are.
Well, we don't do it for that. We never did it. Matt and I started this with a friend of ours, Pam, when our dog went missing. And we just wanted to help people because I knew the helplessness from feeling it myself.
Sure.
And You know, and then when we found the dog and we saw the people, we knew how happy we were, we knew the dog was safe. It really is a feeling that you can't buy. And some of the best feelings in life come from just doing something good for someone. And as I said, God has taken care of us because of this, and I truly believe it. Because as a rescue now, we have, you know, multiple dogs in our care, and now we've gotten to a point where we are not just a rescue, we're like a sanctuary to senior or disabled dogs.
Oh, wow.
So those, we have medical expenses for these dogs that are on heart medications or other medical needs, and but they don't, you know, otherwise they would have been killed in a shelter.
Yeah.
And, you know, alone, died alone. And you know, that, as much as it hurts, I've taken a lot in, and we've lost that. But they died in my arms, knowing that they were loved, and they were happy and cared for.
Sure.
And they went. And, you know, we've spent a lot of money out of our own pockets for them. And, but God makes a way. Recently, I just have to share this with you. Recently, you know, through the years, the dogs that we've had have destroyed our carpeting. And we try to keep a nice house, a clean house. People are amazed that the amount of dogs we have in the house is clean. But we were posting pictures of what the dog did to the carpet. And, you know, I had someone come out and speak about getting those floors that are waterproof and, you know, Cortex floors. And it was like $6,000. And I got very discouraged because that would have been every dime I had saved. And, you know, I really needed it for other things for the dog.
Right.
So I was very upset, and I said to Matt, you know, maybe we need to stop doing this. We don't have anything because of the dogs. And that night I prayed, and the next morning, Matt had gotten an email from a woman saying, you know, we saw that, you know, you're in need of new flooring, and my husband and I own a flooring company, Jackson Flooring, and I think it's Barnegat Flooring, and we want to donate new floors for your house for you.
Oh, my goodness.
When that, I saw that, and I still get emotional now, I knew it was God telling me, Debbie, you're doing what I want you to do. I'll take care of the rest. You just keep doing that. And, you know, so this is why we do it. I mean, for the love of the dogs, and God has blessed us, and I know that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yep. Well, you and your husband, all the volunteers, you are angels. And, you know, I have chills from that story, and I am just in awe of you and your organization. I really am. It really takes special people to do what you're doing. And, I can't imagine what it's like for you guys when you find a dog and that moment when you hand the dog back to his people. I mean, that must be amazing.
It is. And it's an addictive feeling.
Sure.
It makes you want to, you know, do it again.
Right.
You want to find the next one. I mean, it would be nice if we never had to do it again.
Right.
But it makes you want to go out and save another one.
Right. Right.
But we do. I mean, there's times we get called 11 o'clock at night, and, you know, if it's a dog is spotted here, we get out there and we go.
Wow!
You gotta go when they. You gotta get them when they're there. You know.
Yeah, you have to.
You gotta get them when they're excited.
Yep.
I know there was a one memorable one. I'll tell you another one. There was another rescue that we're friends with, and one of their dogs recently adopted got away, and it was down here by us, and they called me, and we were riding around looking for the dog, and I spotted it. And I know when you have a sighting, you're lucky, and you might not get another one. So I didn't want to lose sight of that dog, so I pulled over. I had my friend in the car. I pulled over, jumped out, with a catch leash. I left the car running and my phone in it, and I followed that dog. I didn't chase him. I followed him for 3.5 hours.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
and
my
God. At one point, I had that pain in my side saying, oh, God, please, I got to keep on. And you know, in 3.5 hours, that dog, he went back home.
No.
He looped around, and went right back. Yep, I followed him and went right back to his house. They opened the door, and he went in. But my car was out of gas, and my friend didn't know how to turn it off because it's a keyless car.
Right.
And I didn't have my phone.
Oh, no.
That was a memorable one.
Well,
my legs were like jelly the next day.
Oh, I'm sure. And it had a good ending. The dog did get home.
Oh, yeah. His name was Raisin.
Oh, my gosh.
But, yeah, there's a lot of stories, and we laugh about it now, but, you know, it was all for, you know, it was a happy ending.
Yeah.
When it was home.
Yeah. Debbie, this has been fascinating and quite a learning experience for me. I'm sure for the audience too. So thank you so much for sharing your valuable time and expertise with us. I also want to congratulate you again on the 10-year anniversary of Lost Dog Search and Rescue.
Thank you.
Thank you
again for having us on.
Oh, of course. I mean, you know, you have an important message for people, especially this being Lost Dog Prevention Month. It's something that, you know, we all need a reminder of, about being vigilant with our dogs. And you and the volunteers at the organization, and I'll say it again, you're truly heroes, and you've touched so many lives. So for our audience, if you'd like to donate, again, to Lost Dog Search and Rescue, visit their website at ilostmydog.org. And remember that there's a link in the show notes of this episode where you can get there. I'm also going to add an article by a gentleman named Michael Mann, known as the Greyhound Search Guru, in the show notes. It's a must-read for Greyhound folks, entitled Finding Your Lost Greyhound. So just some supplemental reading in addition to all the wonderful information and great tips that Debbie gave us about preventing our dogs getting lost in the first place. So thank you, Debbie, for sharing your time and expertise with us and for all you do for the dogs and the people who love them.
Oh, thank you. It was a pleasure talking to you.
For the About Greyhounds podcast, this is Jacqueline Howard. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you on the next episode.